For me growing up, I don't know whether to call it a tool, a resource, an alien. You know, it was a physical presence that was a part of your clique, your crew. That was the radio.
You know, you were just stuck to your radio dial with two fingers on buttons. Pause. Record.
You flipping through the dial, and it wasn't no digital tuning. It was straight fine tuning, because you might have overshot your situation. You're like, oh, that's static. All right, we good. Hold up.
You know, you could go to school and talk about, did you hear this new song this weekend? Or did you hear what Red Alert did? Or did you hear what Chuck Chill Out did? You know, you bonded with other people who also kind of were drawn to the music.
My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Every Thursday evening from 5 to 7 p.m., Left Bank Ciders in Catskill holds a community soup night. Every Thursday, they gather to eat soup made by members of our community, with all the proceeds benefiting a local cause. The soup is homemade, delicious, and affordable. A donation gets you a bowl, some bread, and lots of camaraderie. There's always a vegetarian soup option, and a different charity or cause gets the funds raised each week. They have held several community soup nights for your community radio station, WGXC. Left Bank Ciders is at 150 Water Street in Catskill, and community soup night is there every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Devon and Pearling, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that the bipartisan State Independent Redistricting Commission approved new congressional boundaries on February 15th, voting 9-1. Ken Jenkins, a Democrat and the commission's chair, said, and I quote, "I'm very proud of my colleagues and their ability to come together in the spirit of compromise to work to deliver this plan," end quote. Since the 2020 census, there have been many versions of local congressional lines, with several struck down by the courts and one used in the 2022 congressional elections. The new map is generally similar to the one used in the 2022 election, which, the story says, and I quote, "some political observers believed helped Republicans win several key races 2 years ago," end quote. Democrat Yvonne Samuel Collado was the lone vote against the proposed maps. The newspaper predicts that the Hudson Valley's 19th congressional district could become slightly more favorable to Republicans, while the 18th congressional district could become slightly more favorable to a Democrat. The biggest change would be that Democrat Pat Ryan's 18th district would get Woodstock and Socrates, while Republican Mark Molinaro's 19th congressional district would add Cooperstown's Schoharie and Orange County's Port Jervis.
Democrat Paul Tonko's 20th congressional district would lose portions of Glenn Spaul's to Republican Elise Stefanik's 21st district. The state legislature needs to approve the new map for it to go into effect. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Luke Parzno reports for New York State of Politics that on February 14th, New York House Republicans lost their attempt to temporarily double the $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions for most married couples, also known as SALT. Republicans stripped New Yorkers of their tax deduction as part of the 2017 tax law pushed through by Congress during the Trump administration. The bill brought back some, but not all, original provisions, so it was not supported by Democrats. The bill failed 195 to 225, with local Republicans Elise Stefanik and Mark Molinaro voting for, and Democrats Pat Ryan and Paul Tonko voting against. The Republican changes to the SALT cap have led to bigger tax bills for many residents of high-tax states such as New York, New Jersey, and California. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Sarah Rizzo reports for News 10 that organizers announced performers for the 24th Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival this year from July 17th to the 21st at Walks Farm in Oak Hill in Greene County. Della May is an artist in residence, and there will also be performance from the Del Corey Band, the Gibson Brothers, Sister Sadie, Naomi Parsons, and Graham Dunn and Yonder Mountain String Band. There is more information at grayfoxblues.com, and you can read more about this story at News 10. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXE.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXE sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXE newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, February 20th. Local early morning temperatures range from 6 degrees in Steventown to 15 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 33 degrees. Today is going to be very cold, but at least it's sunny. A high of 38 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight temperatures drop to 22 degrees, then bounce back up, hitting 42 tomorrow afternoon. Winds kick up a bit, so it should feel similar to today. 26 degrees overnight takes us into a mostly dry Thursday with a high of 45. Rain starts overnight and continues through Friday, which will have a high of 45. Sunset today will be at 5:19 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:41 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be slow at 292 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 64. And did you know today is the 13th day of the lunar fortnight? Known as Trayodashi, it is said to bestow long life, peace, good fortune, and prosperity. And if you are blessed with some prosperity, consider sharing some with your community. One great way to do that is by heading on over to WGXE.org and clicking on Donate. That's right, folks. Welcome back to the Pledge Drive.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio. Here's new music from the Magnetic Fields from their 50-song memoir from 2017. The song is called No from the Magnetic Fields.
Is there a man in heaven looking out for you? Is there a place?
Christ, he said, laying his hands on high and low. Did he cure colds and cancer and bring back the dead? Did he refuse donations? No! My friend Scott says there's flying saucers hiding inside our hollow moon. And then there's Colicard carrying communists, 'cause revolution's coming soon. Gabrielle believes in ghosts. Yes, she believes in reincarnation, and David in heavenly hosts. My mother believes that mystical you big holographic show, and she says someday science will catch up with her, as she is shred of evidence. No,
next, we hear from Hudson Valley-based singer Sandy Bell. Her 2023 album is called Entelechy, and this song is Monster Trying to Be a Lover.
Thank you. The morning's breaking lights and the sky is light and hazy. Has anyone ever told you that you are fucking crazy? The lights and broken bottles become oysters and dreaming bottles. Serious and broken button, we come as if spring is in order. The sky's dividing into strands of blue and golden river. I think that I'll go home tonight and drink away my liver. Where the devil trod and waddles, we go until we hit rock bottom. Serious and broken rotting.
I wonder if any of you know the answer to this question. Why do they all take the night boat to Albany? Then grab the next train for New York. This is all about spooning. Henry Hudson found a river. A river that touches New York. The rest of the river is just a flipper, because it creates such a talk. Summertime, that's the time spooners used to go rambling about. Now they take trips on rickety ships, but here's what I want to find out. Why do they all take the night boat to Albany? That's what's puzzling me. They all claim it's just for the sights, but what's the same, they travel at night. I asked the fellow and his cute little pet, how is the Hudson? And they answered, it's wet. So they take the night boat to Albany, then grab the next train for New York. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is rid of his worries and cares. Found that the Hudson steamers carry a cargo of peaches and pears. Huddled and cuddled together with no one to shout, cut it out. The river is great. To me, it's a river of doubt. Why do they all take the night boat to Albany? That's what's puzzling me. They all claim it's just for the sights, but just the same, they travel at night. They play the searchlight on the shore as they float. They ought to play the searchlight light on the boat. They all take the night boat to Albany.
This is Marshall Hildreth for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I'm joined by Rachel Ann, owner and operator of the Capital Region's first ever cat cafe, the Pretty Paw Lounge, which is located on Mariahville Road in Rotterdam. Rachel, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you so much for joining me. So just to start off, this is a cat cafe. Could you just explain for people who might be unfamiliar what a cat cafe is?
Yes, of course. So a cat cafe is generally partnered with a local nonprofit or rescue, and we have all local cats and kittens in the back, and they are all able to be visited. You can hang out for a half an hour or an hour, and then in the front there's a bakery, coffee shop, and gift shop where we sell locally made handmade items and baked goods, hot coffee.
Awesome. Perusing your website, you seem to be like a huge animal lover, assuming to run this place you have to be. I'm curious when that started.
My whole life, but more specifically 10 years ago when I started volunteering across the town with East Greenbush Animal Lovers, and they had adoption clinics at PetSmart, so I worked there for quite some time, and I really got into like the cat rescue and decided to do my own thing.
And so kind of piggybacking off that, I know you've traveled a lot. You state that you model. You traveled the U.S. also all over the globe. And that's kind of what spurred this idea. Was there a particular moment in your travels that you said, I got to do this?
Probably seeing the Cat Cafe in Miami and how successful she was, and that she was actually teaching classes and had a bottle feed orphan and newborn kittens. It really sparked an interest with me where I could see, you know, this growing bigger and just doing a lot of learning and hands-on for the local community.
That's awesome. I never thought about pairing an education aspect with the cafe, so that's neat. So you were inspired by someone else. For people who might be inspired by you to kind of do similar businesses or just get involved with cat rescue, do you have any first-timer advice or anything you would like to say to them?
There's going to be so many roadblocks and speed bumps along the way that it's super easy to get discouraged, and don't let that happen. If you're truly passionate about it, just keep going, keep doing it for the animals.
So you've mentioned that a cat cafe typically partners with an animal rescue. Kitten Angels is your partner in particular.
Yes.
I'm a little bit biased. I adopted my own very own Heidi from Kitten Angels. So awesome organization. But could you kind of tell me about what goes into finding an animal rescue partner?
Sure. So that's a huge decision. There is so many in this local area, and I definitely sat down with at least three out of the five major ones and discussed opportunities, because you have to really know who you're working with, where they're sourcing their cats from, you know, that they're getting fully vetted, all their shots are up to date, negative on all the feline diseases. And I had a great connection because two of my cats were adopted from Kitten Angels as well, so I already knew the ladies there. And that worked out really well. But definitely there's a lot of questions that you want to ask. And every cat cafe I've visited in the country has found a great close bond with a rescue.
So in kind of broader community news, in January, a unregistered pet rescue, Empathy, in Colony was shut down due to some pretty awful conditions. Having been in a similar business and in animal rescue in general, do you have any advice for prospective adopters or people getting involved in the industry to kind of be wary of organizations like that?
Definitely. And that was super shocking for everyone, locally and in the area, to hear that happen so close to home. I would say definitely do your research, kind of you said, you have cats yourself through Kitten Angels, so do I. They have a great name in the Capital Region. But, check the website, check the references, call the vet, read all the paperwork that you get. Just make sure that, your checks and balances are there, that you have proof that the animals are spayed or neutered, proof that they're negative on their diseases. Ask to see the medical records, because it's so easy for someone clearly to, fool the Capital Region. Right. And it's just heartbreaking for those animals.
It is.
Beyond devastating.
Absolutely. So in the larger picture of pet rescue, what do you see the role of cat cafes and other business models, especially kind of in the future and given the circumstances with Empathy?
I definitely see people in the area probably being a lot more cautious, doing their homework, doing a little more research, and really just asking like the tough questions rather than just taking everything at face value, because there's just too much margin of error with, you know, people just not being honest and upfront and having the animal's best interests at heart, which is why we're all in it.
Right, right. And just some general questions. You said there's been, I assume with any business, but especially business like this, roadblocks, challenges. What was the most difficult part of setting the lounge up?
Definitely New York State, and getting them to understand that, you know, cats aren't going to be frolicking through the bakery and stepping on the cookies and, you know, dancing in the coffee. No matter how many times you tell them that, you know, it's two separate entities, there's a completely separate room, there's double doors, that, you know, they're really like freaked out about, you know, the hot food, the hot beverages, the baked goods. That's why everything that we have does come in prepackaged. It's prepared, cooked off-site. Mm-hmm. It's all food safe handling guidelines friendly, and everything is prepared from our local vendors, which is wonderful. We partner with some great caterers and bakers. But, you know, just getting them to understand that the cats, you know, are an asset to us. They're adoptions, but the bakery is completely safe and separate from that. So that was a big roadblock for us.
And what do you hope to see in the lounge's future? Any possible expansions or additions? Or you mentioned education classes with other cat cafes.
Yes. So right now we're actually in the middle of working on a little bit of a build out with our basement, and we want to have an education center where we can have volunteers come in and work with unsocial or feral cats or kittens that might not be socialized. So we get a lot of requests for people that want to volunteer and students, so that we can have like a safe space where kids can come in and, you know, help acclimate the kittens to a new environment and get, you know, friendly with the people.
Awesome. I can't wait to see that.
Thank you.
Anything else that you would like to mention, or any questions I didn't ask that you would like to highlight?
Well, we're always looking for new vendors, and we have a couple of spring events coming up, such as rummage sale and then a bake sale. So we're going to have a lot of community involvement where people can come in and set up tables and, you know, sell their wares, whether it's something crafty that they make by hand or if it's like an antique collection or something special.
And where can folks find out more about the Pretty Paw Lounge?
So we are on Instagram and Facebook at theprettypawlounge.com. And then we have our own website, which is just prettypawlounge.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. I appreciate it. After speaking with Rachel, I popped on over into the next room to interview some of the residents of the Pretty Paw Lounge. And they were quite opinionated. Here's what they had to say. I hope those meows and purrs provided some levity to your day. Again, a huge thank you to Rachel for this interview. If you want to find out more on the Pretty Paw Lounge, you can go to their Facebook and Instagram at The Pretty Paw Lounge, or visit their website, prettypawlounge.com, or give them a call at 518-344-6101. Thank you so much. This has been Marshall Hildreth for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
There'll be time enough for rocking when we're old. We can rock all day in rocking chairs of gold. But tonight I think I'd rather just go dancing. There'll be time enough for rocking when we're old, my love. Time enough for talking the nursing home, darling, time enough to write an epic poem. But tonight I think I'd rather just go dancing. There'll be time enough for talking in the home, my love. Tonight I think I'd rather just go dancing. There'll be time.
Next up, we have 2023 new music from local band Jaded Azurites. That's Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bassist Mike Watt. Here is the song Songed from their 2023 release, Number 6.
In the blue motel of sleep, on the purple beat, a hand touches the piano key. I dip beneath layers, deep layers of voices, emerge into a hallway. Closed doors of bedrooms, brass knobs with mechanisms designed to stop me. Rooms with mothers and fathers, sofas, rugs, mantelpieces. The complete Yale Shakespeare, surprising heaviness of small blue books. I whisper to the books, it is fortunate that I touched him in the blue motel of sleep.
New York disability rights advocates are working to break barriers in numerous legislative areas, including those in transportation, housing, and employment. Another area of focus is voting and accessible polling places. A Brennan Center for Justice report finds almost all of New York's polling places aren't disability accessible, leaving them unable to accommodate a quarter of the state's population. Dr. Sharon McLennan-Weir with the Center for Independence of the Disabled New York describes how this can be improved.
We're looking at accessible ballots, especially electronic ballots for those that are blind, visually impaired, learning disabled. If they're able to submit an accessible ballot through absentee ballots, that would be helpful because maybe they're unable to get someone to get them to the polls.
She adds the state election board should also train poll workers on using ballot marking devices. The Brennan Center's report finds in 42% of polling places surveyed, ballot marking devices weren't set up to ensure disabled voters' privacy. Bills about training poll workers and enabling electronic absentee ballots are pending in the Assembly's Elections Committee. In education, McLennan-Weir says proper sexual education for people with disabilities is important. Certain disabilities might require a person to have help with daily life, but she notes this can leave a person in more vulnerable situations. Providing this kind of education could help reduce the amount of sexual assault people with disabilities face.
So we want people with disabilities to be taught about their bodies, taught about inappropriate touching, taught about how to get good reproductive health care, how to understand hygiene, good health regarding the reproductive process.
The U.S. Bureau of Justice statistics finds sexual assaults of disabled people rose 27% between 2017 and 2019. Moreover, a 2023 survey notes 48% of women with disabilities have experienced sexual assault or harassment in the workplace. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The American worker has the power. The American trucker has the power to bring leftist cities to their knees by just refusing to deliver.
Jack Lombardi is one of many truckers for Trump calling for a strike to protest the former president's civil fine for business fraud, close to $500 million after interest. The group wants to stop deliveries by some of the 100,000 commercial vehicles serving New York City daily, which Donald Trump is endorsing wholeheartedly. But the city that never sleeps isn't done with him yet. His hush money case involving porn star Stormy Daniels begins there in late March, the first of four criminal trials the former president is facing. Meanwhile, news organizations and others are calling for Trump's federal election interference trial to be televised. A petition started late last year by Connecticut activist Jonathan Perlow now has 60,000 signatures. Perlow says transparency could show Trump's role in the January 6th attacks.
If we allow a camera in the courtroom, the voters, Americans, can kind of see firsthand, you know, what evidence is presented and how the witnesses testify.
A year ago, a freight train derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, spilling toxic chemicals. President Joe Biden says he signed an executive order to hold Norfolk Southern accountable for the derailment and its long-term impacts. While speaking to residents of East Palestine, he said the disaster should have been prevented.
We were pushing the railroads to take more precautions, to deal with braking, to deal with a whole range of things that were not dealt with. Norfolk Southern failed its responsibility.
Since the Israel-Hamas war began last October, U.S. faith leaders have been calling for an end to the violence. Last week, many joined activists and artists on a pilgrimage from Independence Hall in Philadelphia to the White House, urging President Biden to force Israel to negotiate. Reverend Stephen A. Green is with Faith for Black Lives.
This is a pilgrimage. This is a sacred journey. This is not about Israeli versus Palestinians. This is about our values that make us human.
Last week, several Catholic organizations held related protests on Ash Wednesday. They say they'll hold different actions each week during the 40 days of Lent, culminating on Easter, calling on Biden to live up to his Catholic faith. But Judy Kood with Pax Christi USA describes the demonstrations as interfaith.
Honestly, the basis of the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, it is that covenant we have with our Creator who has promised to love us and care for us, and we are all connected. We're truly one family.
After rejecting a UN Security Council ceasefire resolution, the New York Times reports the U.S. is preparing an alternate version that would take effect as soon as practicable. The Times also reports Israeli attacks have left the two hospitals in southern Gaza barely functional as medical facilities. Israel accuses Hamas of hiding under hospitals and saying it plans to go ahead with attacks in southern Gaza in spite of the dire humanitarian situation for the hundreds of thousands of refugees trapped there by fighting in the north. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. When we last reported on New York's congressional redistricting drama, the state Supreme Court threw out a special master's competitive map because the state's Independent Redistricting Commission, or IRC, hadn't completed its constitutional duties. Analysis of new maps released last week by the commission may give a slight advantage to Democrats. After the advisory-only commission deadlocked on a compromise map in 2022, it submitted one Democratic map and one Republican map, with the legislature rejecting both. The Democrat-dominated legislature then gerrymandered the map for partisan advantage. Those maps were thrown out by an appeals court in 2022, and a special master drew the more competitive maps used during the midterm election, flipping six congressional seats Republican. Then in December 2023, the New York Supreme Court ruled that the IRC should have been given another chance to draw the maps under the state constitution. A Politico analysis suggests that the new map bolsters two upstate incumbents, one Republican and one Democrat, while putting the 22nd district seat of freshman Republican Brandon Williams up for grabs. Unlike the previous deadlocked IRC map, this congressional map passed 9-1 on a board composed of four Democrats, four Republicans, and two independents. It's now up to the Democrat-dominated State Assembly and Senate, hopefully with no more drama. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You and me, we're see-through, homesick and heartbroken. Would you turn me away if the walls were all I could see? In your place, leave me alone with my headphones. I'll be all right. I'll leave you alone with your headphones. We'll be just fine. Face, leave me alone.
That was See Through from the 2020 album Creation Myths from Columbia County-based musician Elvis Perkins. Jazz there from Montana Roberts. That was We Said from the Chapter 5 in his Coin Coin series.
There are so many bands coming to the Hudson Valley soon, coming through this area. It's a regular tour spot for so many acts. And one great band that's coming to town soon that's all over the WJXC community calendar online at WJXC.org is Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band. They are performing three times locally. Wednesday, October 25th at the Half Moon in Hudson. They're also coming Friday, October 27th to Tubby's in Kingston. And they're also playing another show at the Falcon lower in the Hudson Valley. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar. Or tune in Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band when you hear them on the radio, tracks like Cerro Juga on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Ah.
Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band coming to Half Moon in Hudson, Tubby's in Kingston, and the Falcon at the end of the month, the end of October. Go to the WGXC community calendar for more information. Issue online of Brian DeWan's 1997 7-inch Free Lunch. Here is the children's story from J. Otto Seibold and Vivian Walsh, told by Catskills' Brian DeWan.
Free lunch, free lunch, free lunch, free lunch. Our story begins.
Mr. Lunch was very good at chasing birds. In fact, he was a professional. Every morning, Mr. Lunch liked to meet with the birds for bird-chasing practice. To get ready to go really fast, Mr. Lunch would stretch his back and the birds would flap their wings.
One, two, three, four! One, two, three, four!
Afternoons were reserved for office work. There was a lot to do. such as reading the mail and placing birdseed orders.
Notice.
Change of elephant. One afternoon, Mr. Lunch got a letter from the Elephant Brand Birdseed Company. It said there was a new elephant in charge. The old president was a good elephant with an excellent nose for seeds. Mr. Lunch wondered where he could have gone. Maybe the elephant went on one of his trips, thought Mr. Lunch. Mr. Lunch was happy to order some new seeds from the new elephant. But the new seeds did not make the birds happy. As time passed, the seeds became...
Rocks.
The matter was brought to Mr. Lunch's attention. He conducted a careful examination and determined that the seeds were indeed rocks. The birds didn't like rocks. Ambrose, the red bird, said, "I have an idea." He had a friend who lived in the country, surrounded by birdseed trees. "Maybe we should go visit," said Ambrose. Everybody liked Ambrose's idea. They gathered everything they would need to pick the seeds.
Wheelbarrow, field guide, ladder,
boot,
sack,
baskets,
and then drove off to find Ambrose's friend. Ambrose was happy to see his old friend. Her name was Gunhild. She showed them a good place to get started.
Welcome, Ambrose.
It was a lovely garden. But not everyone was so happy. High overhead, someone was spying on them. It was the new Birdseed Company elephant. He was very angry. He did not like to see birds eating free seeds. He did not like many things. He did not like Mr. Lunch. He hatched an evil elephant idea. Quickly, he painted a sign. It read,
"Dogs must remain on a leash."
Minutes later, the police arrived and arrested Mr. Lunch for being off the leash. Ambrose told the police they were making a big mistake. "That's for the judge to decide," said the officer. "I should probably arrest you, too, but I don't have a jail small enough to hold birds." Mr. Lunch was sure there had been a misunderstanding. He didn't even have a leash. He would explain his story to the judge and be set free.
Quiet in the courtroom!
But the judge was an owl, and like all owls, she stayed up all night and slept all day. The judge never heard a word Mr. Lunch said. She was deep in sleep. Mr. Lunch would have to wait in jail. Now turn over the record and put on side two. Mr. Lunch had never been in jail before. Mr. Lunch spent his days looking for shapes in the clouds.
Bicycle.
Gum.
Australia.
Elephant.
Popcorn.
Food.
Chair.
Wig.
Bag. Phone.
Caterpillar.
Locomotive.
Drummer.
Joe.
Baby.
The nights were more lonely. Ambrose wanted to help Mr. Lunch. It was time to pay a visit to the bake shop. He asked the chef if he could hide something special inside a piece of cake. The chef said, no, that would not be right. That would be breaking the baker's code. He did have a little secret, though. One that could help Mr. Lunch.
Psst, psst.
A pink package was prepared. Ambrose and Gunhild delivered it to jail. Mr. Lunch was surprised when a piece of cake showed up. He ate it very carefully. He didn't want to swallow a file or anything. Mr. Lunch finished the cake without finding anything that could help him escape. He felt sad, but being a neat dog, he still took care to wipe his face. As he was cleaning around his eyes, he noticed that there was some writing on his napkin. It was a